How many of y'all ever shop at the Dollar General in school?
Yeah, I did. Been a while.
If you walked in there and you offered them a denari, what you think that cashier is going to do? They're going to say, what is this? Where did this come from? This don't apply here, right? What if you gave them some yen? It ain't going to work. What do you have to give them? What's our currency?
Dollars.
Now you can do electronically. You can put a debit card in there. And if it'll read that card, because you're still dealing with dollars, right? That dollar's going to either come from a credit card or a debit card, but it's still a dollar that it's working with. They're going to get their side of it by way of getting a dollar, because you're going to deal with a dollar bill with our currency. Well, see, God has a currency too. And His currency is truth. And that applies whether you live in China or you live in Israel or you live in America. If you're going to deal with God, you got to deal in truth. Because that's the only thing He deals with. Amen? Amen. And the only way we can deal with Him in truth is it has to be through His grace and His mercy. Amen. That we're able to deal in the truth with Him. Amen?
So much I've been looking at.
Yeah. 78. 78, of course, is long. It's a lot to it, but it covers the history of the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt all the way up to David. That's where it's leading to. It's going to lead you to the fact that God had chose David to shepherd His people. But it's going to reveal to us, if you look in verse number 1, give ear. You see that again. Why you give ear? God wants to do what? He wants to feed you. Well, how is He going to feed you? He's going to speak to you. So you have to give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Notice how in that passage, my mouth is lowercase, because it's the psalmist who is saying that I've got something I want to give away to you. If you listen to me, I want to share something with you. I want to share something with you. And my law, remember, that is saying that there's a principal way that I live, and I want to teach you how I live. This is somebody operating in faith who's holding it forth, is what this is saying. They've heard Him, they heeded Him, they've honored Him. Now they're holding it forth, and they want other people to come join them in this walk. Verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. A parable, what is a parable? It has a meaning that is more than what you see physically or what you hear, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning to it, if you want to narrow it down like this. But parables, as when Jesus taught them, they were intended to hide something. They would miss the whole meaning of it because they would get so focused in on the story that the story was the essence to them, but they missed the meaning behind the story. And this is what He's wanting to do as well, because He's going to bring up another point. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Dark sayings. He's paralleling the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs, it starts out that way, that God wants to give us everything we need so that we can understand dark sayings, that we can understand parables, that we can really see the meaning behind a thing. Because what He's going to outline is the physical history of the nation of Israel as they journeyed out of Egypt, as they walked through the wilderness, and as they entered into the promised land. He's going to talk about all those things, but if that's all you see, you're going to miss the meaning behind it. You want to get to the meaning behind. And that's what He's going to bring out, is that why did they have to go through the things they went through? Well, they didn't believe God. They rebelled against God. They wouldn't heed Him. And when they complained against Him, or they complained against Moses, they was really complaining against God, and it was manifestation of their heart. So these dark sayings about what happened with the nation of Israel, if all you have is a chronicled history, but you don't have the working of God in the midst of it, of what God's intent was, you're going to miss the dark saying of really what underlines this. And then He says in verse number 4, we, the sons of Asaph, he's saying, I'm taking personal accountability. We're not going to hide them from their children. not necessarily just my children, but what? Their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Here's somebody saying, I'm committed to teach the things that God has done to whomever God brings into my life. And if dads won't do it, I'll step up and do it. Wow. If moms are not going to do it, I'm going to step in and do it. It's just a great commitment of saying, okay, if mom, like for an example, my mom and dad loved me and my brothers, but they didn't teach us the things of God at all. They taught us how to be gracious. They taught us how to be kind. They taught us how to bless people and be people who were good to people without trying to harm or hurt people. I mean, they were disciplinarians. I mean, they didn't let us get away with stuff, and they made sure we were always polite. If I talk to an adult, I better have yes ma'am and no ma'am, and I better not ever use an adult's first name. It is always talking with them with a Mr. or Mrs., whatever I was talking to. If I was going into a store, I was always hold the door open for the ladies as they were coming through, or the men step aside and hold the door open for all those types of things. Those are just minor little things, but they make a big difference down the road. And I was taught all that, and boy, I was heavenly disciplined if I ever taught back. My mama, and I pray she never would, my mama has never heard me say a slang word or a cuss word. Boy, my dad would have knocked my teeth down my throat. He ain't never heard me say it. Now I can't talk for my brothers. I don't know all about them. I mean, I got married young and moved off and been gone for a long time. But that's the kind of thing they instilled in us as kids. But he also taught us how to defend ourselves, and he taught us how to stand up for ourselves, and how to be boys and how to be a man. He taught us all those things, and he and my mom taught us everything that we know, but they didn't teach us about Jesus. But other people tried to intervene. Other people tried to do that. I've shared with y'all about people trying to pick us up, or did pick us up, bring us to Vacation Bible School. One of the particular ladies that used to do that, her name is Miss Rita K. Vesher. She would come by, or my mom would let her take us to Vacation Bible Schools. Now, I didn't like going, but I had to go because they said I had to go. But mom and daddy wouldn't take us. We did go from time to time. Around Easter, we would go. Or around Christmas, they may take. My dad never took us. My mom would take us. But Miss Rita Kay would pick us up from time to time, and we would go with her. But I did not enjoy going. I didn't like being. I was in a foreign world. I was in a foreign environment. It just didn't suit me. I didn't like being there. I've told y'all before, I didn't like the snacks. I didn't like the pictures on the wall. I'm telling you, I felt like I was in another world, because I really was. I wasn't comfortable around all the people that were there. And their objective and my objectives in life were like night and day. I couldn't see it. I was in the dark on it and didn't want to be there. So I remind Stephanie from time to time, when you're working with these little ones, you got a little Nikki in there somewhere. You just keep working with them, keep loving on them. They may not want to be here. Somebody's brought them. Somebody's going to bring them. But somebody reached out. And that's what these guys are doing here. Now, y'all keep Miss Rita Kay in your prayers, if you would. They reached out to me last week, and she has some blockages that they've been trying to help her with. But she did request, if she was to pass on, that she wanted me to do her funeral. So the circle has turned. Oh, through the years. So I'm grateful for her and the thing. She's the one introduced me to field peas and biscuits. I was telling Miss Barbara that earlier. And so many other things. So many other things. I grew up with her children and sweet blessings. And her husband, Mr. Ellis, which I did his funeral as well, is actually first cousins to Miss Alona. As well. They're first cousin. Small world, ain't it? Small world. But yeah, y'all pray for Miss Rita K. Vesher. But this is what they were saying. We will not hide them from their children. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob. He established a testimony. The word established means to set up like a standard. And the word testimony means a witness. He established a witness in Jacob. And he fixed or appointed a law, a way, a principal way in Israel, which he then commanded. A work. What work? He commanded our fathers that they would make them the witness and the way and the work known to their children, that the generation to come might know. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare to them their children. So you see, and this was set up by God. A witness was set up, a way was set up, and a work was set up for generation upon generation. Wouldn't be a one-time thing. It was going to be for generations to come, right?
Amen.
That they would, what? Declare to them. Verse 7. Notice those purpose words. Remember, that is a purpose statement. If you don't know the purpose of a thing, what you going to do? You're going to misuse it. So this was set up for all those that's, that they would know, that they would know, that they would declare. Verse 7, that they may set, place, fix their hope in God. What we talk about Sunday, what was those three things we mentioned Sunday about what? Properly placing our trust, properly placing our love, properly placing our worship, and here's number four, properly placing our hope. Properly placing our hope. You see, the whole purpose of a witness, the whole purpose of God's way, the whole purpose of God's work is to what? Give us a walk, set up a hope in our life of how we live, how we walk, a properly placed hope. That they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their who? Their fathers. Notice that. He had a purpose in it. That they would follow the ways of God and not follow those who didn't follow him is the whole essence. But the rest of the psalm is going to lay all these things out for that purpose. And the way the fathers walked was they were a generation whose hearts wasn't right with God.
Yeah.
They were a generation who wasn't faithful. Why? They didn't believe God. They didn't trust God. And they reversed the roles. When things came up, they put God to the test. They wanted to know if God could do it the way they wanted it done. And then you can go back and look at all the things that it mentions. A simple reference would be, an example would be Exodus 17, the first time God provided water out of the rock. They complained because God brought them to a place that they didn't have no water. God led them there. They didn't have no water. So God shepherded them to a place with no water, but he was purposeful in it. What did the people do? They complained against Moses and complained against God. And what did God do? Told Moses to go out. Told Moses to what? Strike the rock. And the rock gushed out water, and you know what the people did? They still couldn't see God in it. They still didn't see him in it. They still complained about it. They couldn't see. And the scripture says the manifest presence of God was there. God told Moses, I'm going to stand before the rock, and when you strike it, I'll provide the water. And they couldn't see it, Brother Shannon. See, that's the dark sayings that I'm talking about. They missed it. But we don't want to miss it.
Amen.
When we walk through it. Why? Because it's important for us to catch God in this and not just look at what they did or how they looked at it or how things worked out. So all this stuff is so good. What does God want to do? He wants to feed us. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to feed us. He wants us to hear and heed and honor and hold it forth as we walk through. All good. All good. Man. Where does exaltation come from? The Lord, right?
Yes.
Like Psalm 75 says, it comes from the Lord. Who chooses when God judges? God does. That's right. He says, I choose the proper time. I choose the time. So, man.
He chooses the time for everything. There's times that we see stuff going on and we're thinking, why, Lord? Why don't you do something?
Yeah.
But he's got his time.
Yes, yes. He sure does. And that's where we go back to, is that it's we do ask those questions, why? But oftentimes when we do that, we don't always get an answer for what we would the why. But if we'll say, how can I glorify you in this time? He'll give us a word to walk in. He'll give us a word. Like things happen in your life. You say, why did this happen? Instead of asking, just say, Lord, how can I glorify you through this? And he's going to give you what you need. He's going to feed you. But he may not tell you the why. Now, we know the why in the end is always it's going to be unto his glory and my good. But if I'm not careful, I could be like some of these Psalms where they kept saying, why is my soul cast down?
Yeah.
And what it is, they got to looking at their circumstances. And he says, because of the enemy, he got to looking at his circumstances. And God loved him enough to chasten him, to reveal to him that, hey, you got your eye on your circumstance or your eyes on the enemy, your eyes on the problem. And I love you enough to let you know that. That's why you're unsettled. And that's why you're asking all these questions. Just ask me, how can I use you in this, and I'll show you what I want you to do. Brother Shannon?
Well, I was just going to say 85:10. It tells itself. It says, mercy and truth are met together.
Mm.
Righteousness and peace
have kissed
each other.
Mm.
Amen.
Look, they are connected. They are walking together. Mercy and truth. You see those two together again and again and again. We're going to jump into Proverbs next month, and you're going to see it. Anytime there was law, or principle way of God, there was always going to be mercy and truth that was intimately connected. Because we need both mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. That present work of God in his mercy and his truth in our everyday life. God being able to work with us, and then how he's going to work with us and how we're going to get to work with him. God deals in truth.
Amen.
We've talked about that before, that his currency is truth.
Yes.
His currency is truth. For an example, if you went to the Dollar General in school,
how many
y'all ever shop at the Dollar General in school?
Yeah.
If you walked in there and you offered them a denarii, what you think that cashier is going to do? They're going to say, what is this? Where did this come from? This don't apply here, right? What if you gave them some yen? It ain't going to work. What do you have to give them? What's our currency?
Dollars.
Now you can do electronically, you can put a debit card in there, and if it'll read that card, because you're still dealing with dollars, right? That dollar's going to either come from a credit card or a debit card, but it's still a dollar that it's working with. They're going to get their side of it by way of getting a dollar, because you're going to deal with a dollar bill with our currency. Well, see, God has a currency too, and his currency is truth. And that applies whether you live in China or you live in Israel or you live in America. If you're going to deal with God, you got to deal in truth, because that's the only thing he deals with. Amen?
Amen.
And the only way we can deal with him in truth is it has to be through his grace and his mercy.
Amen.
That we're able to deal in the truth with him. Amen.
To be able to gather together.
I probably had another 2 hours worth of stuff to talk about tonight, but obviously we're going to run out of time. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless you. We love you and praise you. We thank you for your kindness and your mercies, your goodness toward us. And I just stand before you and thank you for your willingness to feed us, I pray you find our mouths wide open and that we swallow up everything you pour out and everything you give. And we know you work with us little by little, day by day, step by step, so that we can be utterly dependent upon you. Our greatest example is Jesus, who taught us how to live and teaches us how to live and how to be dependent upon you. So we're going to bless you and thank you. Thank you for these tonight, their families, our families, and just ask you to continue to raise us up and use us as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.